And so today, I'm really going to do something that I've been preaching about the last several weeks. That sort of thing. You know, I prepare myself. God prepared me week to week. Every given opportunity that I have to share His Word. I had the message already mapped out for what I wanted to bring to you all today. And I could relate it to the graduates here today. And the title of the message, if you've already seen your bulletin, is A Friend of God. And I hope that you all are friends of God, and I encourage you to come back next week. You'll hear this message. But today, I'm going to talk about something different. God laid this verse in my heart last night. And as I read it, it just jumped out at me, and I thought how important this verse really is. And so one thing that I've always tried to do here is to talk about stepping out of our comfort zone and doing what is uncomfortable for Christ. Because really, if you're going to be a Christian, you really shouldn't live a comfortable life. Being a Christian is not a comfortable life at all. And so, do the uncomfortable. Not always the positive choice or the most popular choice. But I want you to do the uncomfortable. And we're going to read here in a moment in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Just verse 16 is all we're going to look at today. Well, we'll look at verse 15 as well. But 16 is the focal passage, if that's what we're going to call it today. As I was praying this morning before I came out here to walk, God just really revealed to me, like He literally hit me in the hand and said, look, this is what I need you to do every time you wake up in the morning. I need you just to be faithful. I've already marked it in y'all's Bibles. So y'all good to go. No thumbing or hand, it's right there for you. By the way, Samantha, your Bible's much more pretty than anyone else that does. You can thank Stacy Kirby for that. But that's what God wants from you, from me, from anyone who's willing to step out of their comfort zone, is to be faithful and to do what is right and what is just in God's eyes and not your peers' eyes. And so we're going to look at this verse today, and I hope that it speaks to you as it spoke to me, but I felt led by God. And look, I don't even have notes today, so I'm really having to step out of my comfort zone. Out of my comfort zone, rather. Because, you know, I normally have my notes that I go by, that I have for my protection to keep me where I need to be. But I got to thinking, I said, why do I actually need my notes? If I'm holding God's Word, this is where I need to be, right? So here we are in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. And it just stopped me in my tracks. And I thought to myself, looking back at my life, how many times I was able just to stand and see the great things of God right before my very own eyes. My life. Two boys, our home, our families, you all, my church family. Every morning we're allowed to stand up. We're allowed to get out of bed. And you're allowed to open up your window, open up your front door, and just look at all of God's beauty. Stand and see is what is being said here in 1 Samuel. Now, if you were to take an opportunity to pause and look back at your lives, and look back over the course of time, how God has been there for you. How He's always been there for you. Even when you've strayed off the course, or even when you haven't even thought about God, He's still there. And I say this to you all as graduates today, but it applies to the whole church, all of us. How many times in our lives have we just not realized God's there? Too busy. Got too much going on. Or we're just selfish and we want to just be lazy and we just want to sit at home and not do anything but just relax. We don't take advantage of being able to stand and see how great of a God we serve. You three who are graduating from high school, whatever choices you make from this day forward or the day in which you receive your physical diploma, remember that you've got to stand and see what God has already given. Our lives are not perfect. Our family lives are not perfect. Our friendships are not perfect. Our relationships with girlfriend, boyfriend are not perfect. And they're not going to be. And I think that's what we do to ourselves. We strive so much on being perfect. mistakes. Do you recognize the sin, the iniquity, the transgression? You know, we like to sugarcoat it. We want to call it a mistake, but it is what it is. Remember, sin is what it is. Sin is sin. We've got to recognize it. You've got to recognize it. You've got to be forgiven of it. Every day you're going to sin. Every day I sin. Everybody sitting here sins. Somebody could be sinning right now. Their mind could be on something else besides worshiping God. They're focused on everything else but God. But verse 16 is plain and simple. It says, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. First of all, he's already done something great. He got you through high school already, and now he's gotten you through college. With a lot of prayer. With a lot of family support. He'll continue to do that. When you feel like you don't have anybody else in your life, remember what you're holding in your hand. You're holding the peace of God. That's why he gave us his word. That's why we have this Bible. Not to entertain us on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday, or just to give you something to do when you're bored. He gave you this so that you will take it with you. That you will use it. You'll remember. That's why the verse says that you will hide his word in your heart so that you won't sin against God. Are you going to sin? Yes. But when you do, you know his word's there. You remember what his word has told you. Ask and you shall be forgiven. It says all of these things will be added unto you. Now I want us to look at verse 15. I'm going to read 15, then I'm going to read 16 again. Listen to verse 15. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, the backstory here is the anointing of a king. Well, we all don't serve kings. We serve the one true king. But we're not in this situation more because these individuals, remember, they were living under the law. We don't live under the law any longer. That law has been abolished. Jesus Christ made the new law, the new commandment. But for you and I, we can see this verse and it says, do not obey. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord and you rebel against what he has commanded you, you're going to suffer for it. You're going to be judged for it. And that's going to be true until the day that he raptures the church. That's going to be true until the day of the 7 years of tribulation passes by and the new heaven and the new earth is set up. One day, you will be judged. If you are not a child of God, you're going to be judged for not choosing to believe in him. And then he will look at you and he will cast you away because he never knew you. Now, as I said, today's message initially was going to be a friend of God. And you who sit here today, you may think that you're a friend of God, but you cannot think. You've got to know that you're a friend of God. Mason, you'll never have a friend no greater than God. None of us will. I'll fail you. Boyfriend and girlfriends can fail you. Husband and wives can fail you. The church can even fail you. God will. He is ready to give you all that you could ever imagine if you just give him. The ending portion of verse 15 says, if you don't adhere to my commandments, you will be judged. You will be punished just as your fathers. And so this is the point that I want to make to you today. This is what we're going to close on. I don't care what sins you committed prior to coming in this morning. You can be forgiven. You cannot dwell on the sins that your moms and dads committed, your grandparents committed. You can't dwell on those things. You are not of them. They allowed you to come into this world because they created you. And they created you how? Because you were already created by the mighty hand of God. He knitted you in the very womb of your mom. Remember, we're just passing through. The word is pilgrim. Every one of us are pilgrims in this world. It is my hope and it is my prayer that when you pass from this world, you will pass into the very people love you. So many people pray for you. They want the best for you. Sure, our advice doesn't always sound the best because you think that we're dumb and old and we don't know anything. I'm already getting that look from my two, in which I may have to agree with them sometimes. But I try my best. But you've got to understand, man will fail you. God Almighty will hurt you. We hurt feelings. We think without speaking. We can be hateful. A man and I had this conversation just this past week about how mean we can tend to be to our own children, our own spouse. And we forget how God continues to love us and how He has told us in His Word. This is just one verse of thousands that reiterate how much God loves each and every one of you, how He cares for you, how He has blessed you. And that's what He wants you to remember today and forevermore. We can go out these doors right now. We can all hold hands and gaze out into the field across from us, gaze into the woods, look into the heavens above, and we can see with our eyes how great our God truly is. I can try my very best to give you worldly advice and give you wisdom in which has been passed to me or things that I've learned in my short 41 years of life. But I can tell you right now that I cannot tell you anything more greater than this. I want this Bible that you have in your hand to be used, not neglected. Not a decoration piece. Use it. Read it. Study it. Apply it. His Word was written for you. For you, Samantha. For you, Mason. For you, Eric. God's Word is for all. Apply it to your heart. Congregation, apply it to your heart. God can do wonderful and mighty things if you just willfully will succumb to Jesus Christ. That's all He wants. I'm going to do something today that I haven't done as a pastor. It may have been done here before, but today I want our four graduates, if y'all will just come and stand at the center here at this offering table. And church body, if you're willing, if you're able, I want you to come and we'll try to make a circle of some kind, some type of formation around these graduates here. I know our space is limited. I just want to have this time that we can pray over the graduates. Brother Luke, if you would open us in prayer around our graduates, and then anyone else who wants to pray, pray, and I'll close us in prayer. This will not be our closing prayer. This will be our prayer to close this moment around these four graduates. Graduates, y'all come over here, please. Anybody who's able to come down and pray at the altar. Feel led to pray aloud, I encourage you to pray silently where you stand or sit this morning. Brother Luke, if you'd open some prayer. Get poor individuals will not live a life wasted. But God, they will live a life filled with meaning and purpose. That meaning and purpose, Lord, can only be given and obtained by following and seeking you. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about dying ourselves. God, if we would count the cost of what it means to truly follow you. Because when we die ourselves, we find life. And what life really means. But God, I pray, Lord, for them this morning as they go into life and go into these things, Lord, that they wouldn't put themselves into vain things. They would put themselves into things, like Samuel told them, in the Lord. And not things that believe them eat. Thank you, and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray.
Dear Lord, I thank you for these four graduates, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you also for this church, dear Lord, for each individual that have modeled these children to become adults, dear Lord, whether it be BBS, preachers, teachers, dear Lord, just thank you for everyone that's done that, dear Lord. I pray they continue to do that for future graduates that will be coming up, dear Lord. Lord, now we just pray that you think of things they have out to different aspects of life, dear Lord, just lead God and direct. We just pray that they'll lean on you and not their own understanding.
Dear Lord, I pray that us as a church congregation will continue to be your hands and feet and continue to love on these four and still be a part of their lives. We want them to know that we will always be there for them. If they need anything from gas money to a home cooked meal, please let them reach out to any of us. And just let them know that we are still praying for them and they will always hold a special place in our hearts.
Laid out before. God, we love you. Lord, we praise you.